Is the European debt crisis coming to a bank near you?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. There is more market reaction today from Europe's debt crisis. Ratings agency Fitch caused a big slide in American stocks yesterday after it warned that American banks would take a big hit if the Eurozone crisis gets any worse. But just how exposed is the U.S. to what's going on in Europe? From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Fitch concedes that American banks have been pulling money out of Europe for over a year, especially from the most vulnerable countries like Greece. But the U.S. banks still have a very big exposure to France, and Fitch warns the French could soon be dragged into the crisis. The ratings agencies also worried about the insurance coverage the banks have taken out to protect themselves against losses from a default. Fitch says that coverage may be ineffective. Bob McGee of Independent Strategy says just look at what's happening in Greece.
The Greek government is arranging a voluntary haircut or default with its private sector creditors, which would not invoke what they call a credit event and therefore not invoke the insurance.
Fitch says U.S. banks could suffer in other ways if the Eurozone debt crisis worsens. The money markets, where they raise a lot of cash, could be disrupted. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
More pressure today on the Syrian government from neighboring countries. The Arab League has given Syria now 3 days to end the violence against protesters and allow monitors into the country, or it's going to impose heavy economic sanctions. Now, Syria's neighbor, Turkey, has been pushing for those sanctions, and the BBC's Jonathan Head is with us now from Istanbul with the latest. Hey, Jonathan.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What kinds of economic sanctions are being talked about right now, and will they have any impact?
Well, Turkey's in a position to hit the Syrian economy quite hard because it's one of its biggest trading partners. That trade was worth around $2.5 billion last year, much bigger than a few years ago. So they could hit Syria, various sectors of the Syrian economy. They're talking about cutting off electricity supplies. They export perhaps about 10% of Syria's needs, but most people think Syria could make that up. They could also hit cooperation in the oil sector, and that's something other Arab countries are looking at. But realistically, nobody thinks these sanctions are going to change the direction of the regime of President Assad immediately. I think this is more of an expression of displeasure and a demonstration of its international isolation.
You've got the Arab League coming out against Assad and others now. Is this the last straw?
I think it's the last straw for Syria's international position, although, of course, Iran remains a key supporter, and the Russian government is still resisting stronger international action. But the country is very isolated. The government's very isolated. The key thing is whether international diplomacy can stop the conflict, persuade the government to do some kind of deal, or whether Syria slips into a civil war, which, frankly, none of its neighbors can control.
The BBC's Jonathan Head in Istanbul. Jonathan, thank you.
Good to talk to you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower today. Europe's down an average of 1% following the big sell-off here in the U.S. yesterday, as we talked about Fitch's outlook. The Dow lost about 1.5%, falling 190 points to close at 11,905.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Overland speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at expeditiontothesouthpole.com.
In Somalia, there are new reports that tally an increasing flow of refugees to Kenya, almost 9,000 a month. And in refugee camps, there's a new economy emerging where Somalis get food and medicine and even money from relatives through their cell phones. From the Dabab refugee camp in Kenya, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Just past the kids, the goats, and the camels at this refugee camp, there's a shack that says Safaricom, cell phone store. A refugee steps to the counter, fiddles with a cheap Nokia, walks out with $16.
This man withdrew 1,500 shillings.
The store manager explains, this refugee just got money from a relative via cell phone, and just now he cashed out. All you need is a text message and a PIN number. Out of every 10 people here, 5 live on a dollar a day. 3 have electricity. 7 do mobile money.
The potential for mobile phones is absolutely fantastic.
That's John Hadanat at the International Food Policy Research Institute.
You can transfer money almost instantaneously, which cuts out a lot of the transactions costs. It's literally mobile money. They can take it and redeem it in lots of places.
Kenya's system is called M-Pesa, which is so common, it's a verb. As in, did you just M-Pesa while driving? Yes, my cabbie Peter just texted in a church tithe.
I'm almost like 500 kilometers from my home church, and the fundraiser is going to start at 11. I had to send a donation.
And in a minute, he gets a text.
It just confirmed that I've sent...
I'll tell you what, you drive.
Turns out you can M-Pesa at the grocery store, pay utility bills, etc. So I join in.
How much?
1,200.
In Nairobi, I shop for a soccer jersey for my kid. And then out comes the phone.
Can I pay you M-Pesa?
Yeah, it's okay. No problem.
Okay. Now what? Enter the amount.
I text the seller $12 for the jersey, plus another 26 cents for the transaction. 20 seconds later, text message.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a text message.
Confirmed. Oh, cool. So you're Mr.
He gets his money, I get my shirt. It's that easy for farmers, herders, refugees all across Kenya. At the intersection of IT and development, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, Neiman Marcus has been dazzling wishlisters for more than 100 years with its annual Christmas catalog. But this year, you're going to have to pay to see that book of dreams. The luxury retailer is charging $15 to get a copy of it. Refundable, of course, if you buy something from inside the book, like, say, a speedboat handcrafted here in the U.S., complete with gold accoutrements that go for $250,000. But you better hurry. There are only 10 of those speedboats available. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an economic indicator. Skyscrapers as symbols of financial health.
The biggest skyscrapers originally were built by corporations to show how wealthy and how powerful they were. But certainly in terms of China, there is that sense that we are going to build the tallest building because they want to show they can.
I'm Kai Rizdal, high and mighty, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.